Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
I'm not a doctor, so...
It's questionable. Questionable concern.
All right.
On 95.7 The Game.
You want to hear something bananas completely off the subject?
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Uh-huh. She was just singing in the hallway, by the way.
In the hallway, that's why you said it.
Yeah.
It's bananas. What's bananas, Mark?
You ever want to question the toughness of a football player?
No.
That's why I said what I said to Jonathan, when he's like, man, they never give up on Kyle. Do you want to know what these people are doing out there?
Yeah, and I can share a story from my wife this morning when we woke up. She said, I was listening to Howard Stern. She likes Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard apparently was talking about Cam Scadabo.
Yes.
And so my wife looked up the injury, and she's like, this guy's foot was going the wrong way, and he's like, oh, no big deal.
Yeah, he's like, can I keep playing?
Right.
Right.
And she's like, his foot was the wrong way. And I said, I haven't seen it yet. I'm not going to see it, but I know what the injury was. And my wife's takeaway, though, was like, yeah, it was like no big deal. And it's like, yeah, I got the flu shot on Saturday, and I've been crying ever since. My arm hurts, Mark. Seriously.
You ever get one of them tetanus deals? Takes like 2 days.
Brutal.
Absolutely brutal. Yeah, there's actually been some weird cut-offs this year where dudes like Tyreek Hill was like laughing. Tyreek Hill's foot was going the wrong way, and he's like, yeah, whoa, see y'all later. I'm like, dude, if you don't know that football players, they're crazy.
Yep.
They are crazy human beings who go out there and do that. And when your foot is going the other way, and your reaction's like, yeah.
It was crazy.
you like that? Like, no, I don't really like that. So check this out. Remember how I said, I've said this a few weeks in a row where I'm like,
you like that? You like that?
Thank you, Kirk. And apparently the anniversary of that was over the weekend.
Yep, 10 years.
Yeah. So anyway, remember how I was like, hey, Vikings, you actually don't like J.J. McCarthy. And the reason I know is because you keep trying to sell to us that Carson Wentz is playing well. It's like, we got to stay with the hot hand. I'm like, he's not hot. He's not even mid. Like, it's really, I know they won a couple games, but he's not playing good football. And then you saw Thursday night, and they got boat raced, which also represents the last time Dibbers got a win. It's fine. It's only 3 games ago.
Yeah, you know.
I didn't want that to sound like a huge shot. But
no,
anyway.
22-12. That's fine.
Listen to this, though. Wentz is out for the year, okay? This just came down like within the last 30, 40 minutes. Carson Wentz is out for the year. Listen to what happened. He actually got hurt almost a month ago.
What?
Listen to this. Do you remember the London game?
He beat
I think he beat the Browns, maybe. He beat the Browns in London. All right. Ian Rappaport says on Carson Wentz, in the first half of the London game, Carson Wentz suffered a dislocation that tore his labrum and fractured the socket.
his shoulder.
Correct. Now, it's his non-throwing shoulder.
Dude.
But let me say that again. A dislocation that tore the labrum and fractured the socket. I didn't know you could fracture a socket. I thought that was for bones. But a socket being fractured sounds more painful than a bone being fractured.
The socket essentially is where the two bones come together.
Great. Sounds awful. Anyway, it's fractured.
Yes, they beat the Browns.
They beat the Browns with a fractured socket and a torn labrum. Carson then proceeded to play 2.5 more football games with a dislocation, a torn labrum, and a fractured socket. And you saw him the other night on Thursday. Every time anybody breathed on him, he was in horrible pain. And then they would sit over there for 6 minutes, and then it would be like time for the offense to come back out, and he'd be like, okay, coach, I'm ready to go. These people are maniacs. Maniacs.
No doubt.
So there's no questioning their toughness or their want to or their desire or whatever. But, yeah, Carson Wentz done for the year.
So J.J. McCarthy, come on back.
Yeah, he's back.
Yes. And as you know, I've had every injury, and of all the injuries I've had, the torn labrum is by far the most painful one. More painful than the torn ACL, for sure. The broken orbital bone in my face, the broken wrist, the all the rest of the ones I've had. The torn labrum is far and away the most painful injury. Your shoulder goes out, and you try to get your shoulder back in, and it doesn't always go back in.
You are the Richie the Greenskeeper of the Bay Area sports media.
I don't know what that means.
I know you don't, and I would like to describe it to you.
Okay.
I told you the story a couple of weeks ago when we took my daughter with us to the little nine-hole golf
course. That's right, yep.
And she accidentally hit the groundskeeper.
Wow.
He was not looking, and he was in a spot where if you slice one a little bit, you're in a danger zone. And, unfortunately, she caught a low screamer.
Oh, boy.
And it went right into the back of his neck. It was very scary. Very scary. No bounce. Just line shot right into the back of his neck. Richie is okay. He's very good friends with my son, who works there also, and we stayed long and took care of him, and everything was fine. But the reason I bring it up is because the guilt that overcomes you in situations like that is overwhelming. I didn't hit the ball, nor, I called for. Like, we did all the things right. In fact, I even used his name when I called for.
Richie Four!
Get down!
Too late.
Whack! So the guilt is unbelievable, and you want to do everything. You want him like, do you need a ride to the emergency room? I bought him beer a few weeks later. Like, you just want to do things for the man. And then you come to find out that I believe that this is Richie's eighth time being hit by a golf ball.
Eighth time.
Now, yes, he works at a golf course.
Yeah, occupational hazard.
At the same time, One might argue that Richie has a propensity to be in the wrong spot and not worry too much about it.
Yep.
You could argue that. And so you're the Richie of the sports media with your list of injuries. Well, that's
I get it.
That's unbelievable.
Well, it just happens when you are a guy who likes to play a lot of sports and is woefully under-talented, yet you want to compete at the highest level, so you go max effort all the time. And when you do that, and you are not strong, fit, or in a spot to do that, you're going to be more susceptible to injury. I got hit by a golf ball once.
You did?
Yeah, Danny Granieri. He had a golf ball, and he hit.
Who are you?
He was my neighbor, and I used to kind of pick on him, and he took a golf ball with a baseball bat, and he just, just crushed it. One hopped me right in the thigh.
Was he trying to hit you?
Oh, you're damn right he was.
Oh, he was trying. Well, that's different.
I'm just saying it hurts. It doesn't hurt any less because,
with a baseball bat?
Yeah, I'd argue that hurts less than when, like, you're going to generate more speed, with a golf club than you would a baseball bat.
An aluminum bat?
Yes.
From about 17 yards away?
Unless it's Aaron Judge hitting it, yes. Like the whip of that shaft. Just
We're
relax.
Talking about your teenage daughter.
Relax.
Can we give him a second yellow, or do we go straight to red?
He's done. We're done.
That's it. Fine. Dibs and Grandy coming up next.
I'll leave.
You're in the sin bin.
Your mind doesn't need to go there. When
mine
I use
actually
the word,
didn't this time.
I'm talking about a golf club, and I use the word shaft. If your mind goes there, that's you. I didn't do that.
He's a bad mother. Shut your mouth.
That's your potty mouth.
We talk about shaft.
The whip and nay-nay and the shaft. That's your problem.
I think about a 70s blaxploitation actor when I hear shaft. I don't think about golf clubs.
Shut your mouth.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, I would argue that the whip of the shaft is going to generate more speed and therefore hurt more with that kind of a line drive than you would with a baseball bat.
We're talking about your 15-year-old daughter. I'm not sure she's generating a lot of ball speed. No doubt.
Good athlete.
Yeah.
Listen, just look. How far are you going to hit a golf ball with a golf club versus a baseball bat?
Depends.
Hell of a lot farther with a golf club.
Well, just depends on how close you are when you get hit by said projectile.
I mean,
if Richie the greenskeeper is 71 yards away as opposed to 12 yards away, it's going to hurt a little bit less.
I guess. But, yeah. Anyway. No bounce either.
Yeah.
So you had a little bit of help from Earth.
There you go. Yeah. On the street, that really slowed that golf ball down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're from the streets. So you and the streets, they are one. The Warriors are hosting the Grizzlies at 7 p.m. That means Warriors live with, hey, Grandy's got the assignment tonight. Way to go, Grandy.
Thanks.
6 o'clock, presented by Xfinity. Your home court advantage brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. Still waiting on Kyle. So it was supposed to be 3:30. Then they said it's 3, and now it's 3:13, and it hasn't happened yet. Divas. Such divas. Come out and talk, Kyle. He's like, possibly. But anyway, we'll get you those updates coming
possibly.
Up in a sec. And I'd like to get into the fact that both of us think the 49ers are going to make the playoffs, but both of us also think that the 49ers, you know, aren't really set up to do a whole lot with it. But let's go through the NFC. We can do the AFC, too. I actually think it's very clear who the 14 teams should be. We'll do that next on Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
10th play of this drive for the Texans. Stroud looking for 6, open touchdown! Jaden Higgins, his second of the year!
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That's Kevin Kugler on Fox with the call there. And if you hadn't heard of any of the people catching passes for the Texans yesterday, you weren't alone. This has nothing to do with yesterday's game, but you want to know what went through my head when you see all that.
Yep.
Stop paying $30 million for receivers. Once again, stop. If your quarterback has time, you can stick Tom, Dick, and Harry out there.
Easy.
Well, you can, Dan.
Having quite a show.
Thank you. The whip of that shaft, Xavier Hutchinson.
Yep, he had five catches.
Jalen Noel.
He had five.
Grabbing balls that don't belong to him. Braxton Berrios, who's a TikTok star.
You had me thinking of your darn daughter, yes. Every Berrios catch, because I know who he is because she knows who he is because of who he's dating.
Alex Earl.
Correct.
Is her name, and she spells Alex in a really weird way.
With an I.
Like Michael Penix.
Like Mark with a C.
Yeah, but Alex, exactly. Weirdos.
Not weird.
It is weird. It's completely weird. Ash Lareth tomorrow. Anyway, yeah.
Ask Mark Spears.
Fine. I will.
I followed Alex Earl on Instagram for about an hour over the weekend.
I bet you did.
What? Well, I mean, like, let's see what she's about.
Who's out of line now?
I was like, this enough. Enough. Like, all of a sudden, my feed is all.
Yeah. You just changed your algorithm right there, buddy.
Gone. Unfollowed. It was a quick hour. I was like, what are we doing?
A quick hour, huh?
Quick hour. It's quick 5 minutes. What, Grandy? It's him. It's not me this time.
Oh, my God. No.
Braxton Berrios.
Yeah, if you were on.
Marks, Higgins, Schultz, Wayne. Can I say Chubb? Or is it going to set him into a giggle fit?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that's up to you.
Ogunbowale had a catch.
I do like him. Ogunbowale. And Woody Marks. Woody Marks is a good young back. I really like him. But anyway, yeah, it doesn't. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. You want Nico Collins out there. And what did John McClain call Christian Kirk on Friday?
Christian Hurt.
Christian Hurt. It was funny when he said it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He got a four.
Anyway.
No, but think about Justin Jefferson. Yeah. What kind of year are you having, son? Not a great one because your quarterback got hurt and then the backup was hurt for a month. Yeah. And now the other guy's coming back. And you can't be a dominant receiver if you don't have a decent quarterback and a good line.
Oh. Yeah. And then again, you know, the Niners have had three times in the last 4 years, they've had a receiver hold out for more money. And then that receiver has come back and suddenly been a way less version of himself. So I just think the whole thing is crazy. I would, you know, people want their football team to like draw this hard line stance against paying the quarterback. You're doing it at the wrong position. The 49ers' problem is not $53 million for Brock Purdy if there are salary constraints. The problem is $30 million for Brandon Ayuk. That is a problem. Anyway, more on that in a sec. Let's go to Grandy. We got Shanahan updates. What do we got?
Yeah, what do you guys want to hear? Do you want to hear, I'll get to all of it, but what do you want to hear first? Injuries from the game.
Okay.
Updates on players who might soon be coming off of IR. Updates on Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall.
I'd like to save Purdy and Pearsall for the end.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's go in order.
In order that
updates
you presented
from
it.
The game.
All right. Yeah.
First.
Sam Okwuonu has an ankle injury. Jordan Elliott also has an ankle injury. D. Winters with a knee. Alfred Collins, a shoulder. Mac Jones, a knee contusion. All of those guys are day-to-day. Those are the injuries from the game.
Okay, that's a good update.
Yeah. The Okwuonu, you could see the he's coming around the outside and it just whoop. That was like,
Yeah.
That's a classic ankle roll.
Just an ankle sprain, yeah. Ankle sprain.
Yeah, and I mean, you hope that he can come back, but like, how many of those guys you just listed are defensive linemen? Three, if not four? You had Collins,
Jordan Elliott, and Alfred Collins.
I mean,
Winters and Mac Jones, the others, all day today.
Yeah. D actually came back, and I wrote in my notes, he got hurt. He missed about three plays.
Day-to-day is all you want to hear. When somebody leaves the game on Monday, you just want to hear that they're day-to-day. Kyle has been pretty honest, I think, this year with the ones on Monday where he's like, they're going to miss some time.
Yep.
They're going to miss some time. So if everybody's day-to-day, doesn't mean that they're in this weekend, but I think that's as good as we could have hoped.
Yeah, because we got Huff, and that was like, it's going to be a couple weeks.
It's going to be a couple weeks, right.
By the way,
right.
On the Monday report.
Yeah. And I did not hear any update on Huff. Meanwhile, he was asked about players currently on IR that might soon be coming off. They might open their practice window. If they open the practice window, they have 21 days to add them to the active roster.
Are you cowing? What do we got?
So he said they expect to open the practice window for Ben Bartsch, who started left guard week one.
That would help.
Hasn't played since. Connor Colby's been starting since then, so he's expected to get his practice window opened on Wednesday, and he said that's it. So no Ayuk know anybody else, at least not expected to open their practice windows this week. And then Ricky Pearsall asked if he's closer to coming back than last week. He said, I hope so, but still haven't been told anything new. He said he'll evaluate on Wednesday, Ricky Pearsall. And then Brock Purdy asked basically the same question. He said, quote, it's too early to say. I don't think it's a long shot. I know he's doing better, but again, they'll see how he's doing on Wednesday.
I don't think it's a long shot is the opposite of what he said the basically the last 2 weeks. So that's a maybe.
Right. I don't know. For me, it's a number of things. One, your offensive line has not been great. He does give you more mobility when healthy. You're going to a place where the turf is really bad. And as I said in the crossover earlier, I don't think it matters. You're not going to make your decision based on that. But if the toe is not all the way back and your O-line's been shaky and you go to a bad field, it might have you lean in the direction of give them another week. And I don't know. I don't know either, Mark. I don't know if another week gets him from 91% to 100%. You know what I mean? If the toe's probably going to be a thing all year, no matter what.
It might be. To me, I look at it differently because it's the National Football League. And I think you said this earlier, and I'm in full agreement, and I think Kyle is too. He's already answered this when they asked him, is the fact that they're on turf these next 2 weeks, is that a factor? And he said no. And he's right. It shouldn't be. If turf is a factor, then you're not ready. Then you're not ready, period. If you're ready to play football, then you're ready to play football. And that means whether you're on turf, grass, concrete, or the moon, if your body's ready, you're ready. If it's not ready, then even it being on grass would not be okay because you're still going to have to pivot and move and people will chase you. Big, large guys, they're going to chase you now. And right? They're going to get you sometimes. And so if you're ready, you're ready. And I also, I don't even know if the MetLife surface, they did redo it. I don't know that the data from years ago is the same. So I don't even want to call it a terrible surface. I don't know that it is anymore. I've heard that it's much better now, but I don't know that for sure either. But anyway, like if he's ready to go, he's ready to go. And your offensive line not performing well, I really can't take that into account because that's going to be that way all year. So I'm not like, that's almost like disrespectful to Mac Jones or anybody else. Like, well, we'll stick you behind this line,
but not Brock. Not Brock.
No, like you got it, dude. Everybody's going to be out there making mistakes, including the quarterbacks, offensive linemen too. If you're ready to play, you're ready to play. And I'm excited that those guys might be ready to play. The Pearsall thing is more of an eye roll than the Purdy thing because it sounded like he's more positive. I mean, Grandy, you tell me, like the way you passed that along sounded like he felt a little bit better about Brock than he did about Ricky.
That was my understanding.
Yeah, the Ricky thing is just starting to feel really mysterious and uncomfortable. And I think he's an incredibly important player.
It sounded to me on Pearsall that it's just the same way he's answered that question for 2 or 3 weeks now.
That sucks.
We'll see on Wednesday.
Yeah, basically. And I know, again, I stand by my statement that I'm not giving $30 million to receivers, but yes, I do want, there are some that certainly provide you something more than others. I wouldn't do $30 million, but it would be nice if Ricky was out there. I do think that changes the dynamic a little bit.
It does, and you know, right now you look at yesterday and you can't run the ball, and part of the reason why you can't run the ball is because you can't throw the ball. And so the defense, if you watch all the plays that the Niners had on offense, which weren't that many, by the way, I think they had 45 snaps on offense the entire game versus 80 for the Texans, but Houston doesn't have to respect your deep passing game. The one time you took a shot, you went max protect, you had 7 guys block, and you sent Juwan deep, and he was open, and he didn't catch the football. That was it. That was your only deep shot. So for Houston, you don't have to really respect the passing game. You rally up for the dink and dunk, which is what they did, and you have 8 guys near the line of scrimmage to crowd the run, and you dare the Niner pass game to beat you. And they weren't able to do that because you don't have Pearsall, you don't have Ayuk, and Juwan actually had a great catch on that 3rd and long that set up the touchdown to Tonjes, but other than that, you didn't really have that many deep throws that you were able to complete.
No, the whole thing is the timing of the whole thing is off. And this is one thing that I just think we've always felt this way, but it's really crystallized this year. It's crystallized for me this year because of certain examples around the league, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, to a degree, Mac Jones, because even though he hasn't been sparkly the last couple of weeks, he is 4-2 as a backup, and that's pretty damn good. And he's been able to do things because he's now in this system, and it's a better system than and has better coaching and better teammates than he's ever had before in New England or Jacksonville for sure. And I'm just starting to realize that we individualize sports too much, particularly in the NFL. Like baseball, I can tell when somebody's at the plate who is a difference maker. And in basketball, difference makers kind of make that league go. You know, exhibit A, Steph Curry gets knocked out of a playoff series, you can't win another game. But in football, we focus too much on these individuals. Like C.J. Stroud can complete passes if given time, but all year he hasn't been given time. Yesterday he got time. But what happens when that looks consistent? Like, y'all think that Daniel Jones just ate a pill or something? Why is he awesome and why does Jonathan Taylor score 3 touchdowns a week? Their offensive line is killing it.
Huh. Imagine that.
That's it. Their offensive line is killing it. And there are many quarterbacks. And again, I'm not saying that there are, like, yes, there are many who are set apart from others. But there are a lot of quarterbacks, if given the right situation of blocking and system and understanding and execution, who will play well. I don't think Daniel Jones is amazing. He's good, but like it looks perfect all of the sudden because what's going on around him is fantastic. It's elite. Did you know that there's 8 quarterbacks that have a higher rating than Daniel Jones this year? You wouldn't think that by looking at their record and the way he's played, but there are a lot of guys out there who are technically, by the numbers, playing better, but they might be struggling more to get wins because they can't just hand the ball off and get 7 yards a carry whenever they want. But that's what the Colts are doing right now.
Yeah.
So they score over 30 points and they kick your ass every weekend. Look at their scores. It's not just winning.
Oh, they're crushing people.
38-14.
Right.
They look like the Niners from a couple of years ago.
The Colts have been sacked 9 times in 8 games. They've given up 9 sacks.
There you have it.
Denver's only given up 8. The Seahawks have also given up 9. And these are teams that are winning. Dallas has only given up 10 sacks, but their defense is so bad that it doesn't matter. They score almost as much as Indianapolis, but it's complimentary football. And if you look at like the Titans, they've given up the most sacks. And the Jets, they've given up the second most sacks. And there's no surprise that those are quarterbacks who are really, really struggling. And the 49ers are right there in the middle. But the thing about the Niners is they are so reliant on the complimentary nature of their offense. And if you can't throw it because you don't have wide receivers who are able to get open, the defense will cheat. And they'll sell out to stop the run, which is what Houston did yesterday. And they did a great job up front. They were dominating the Niner offensive line. So you can't run it. And even when they had some success passing it, Houston would rally up and make the tackle. And there were a couple plays, 3 or 4 plays are sticking out to me for the Niners defensively, where like one Malik Mustafa runs up to get a stop and he just whoop, slipped and he went right by a guy. And Upton Stout with a blitz off the corner, and you know Stroud just kind of stepped around him. There were little plays that the Niners could have made, but they didn't because they couldn't tackle.
Right, right. Yeah, they were sloppy yesterday. They can play better than that, but I don't think they can be a markedly great team on offense. Their offensive line does not block enough, and on defense, their defensive line does not chase enough. It football sometimes is really that simple. And I get it. 916 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line wants me to adopt that same take for Purdy. Fine. I don't run from that. It's the same for Purdy. He's not great, but everything around him was great. I don't look at it like I don't buy your verbiage, but your point is fair. I don't think that means that a player is not great. the player has to go do and execute what opportunity is there. Daniel Jones is doing it. He's playing great this year. Does that make him a great player? I don't know. I guess in this particular system and moment, Colts announced yesterday they want to work on a long-term deal. They would like Daniel Jones to be the quarterback because it works with what they've produced. Same way it works for Brock Purdy in San Francisco. There's only three or four guys, and we know who they are, who are just like, dude, if you're here and we give you a uniform, we're going to win. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. And even they can be knocked off kilter if things around them really, really fall apart, like it kind of did for Lamar a little bit early this year. Although that win for them yesterday, I think, keeps them in the picture because he's supposed to be back on Thursday night.
Yep. And if you look at, like, just quarterback rating, you look at the quarterbacks who are at the top of the list, and you've got those teams are pretty well put together. Drake May is number one right now in quarterback rating, and New England's been healthy, and they are very buttoned up offensively.
He's an MVP candidate right now.
Jared Goff is number two. Detroit goes without saying how explosive they are. Jalen Hurts is number three in quarterback rating. Then you get to Jordan Love, and boy, Green Bay sure looked good last night. Then you get to Danny Dimes, who's fifth. Matthew Stafford is sixth. And again, that's another team that's very, very good offensively, and they're all buttoned up. And then it's Seattle, and even Aaron Rodgers. Pittsburgh. Josh Allen is nine. Mahomes is 10. I mean, Dak Prescott's 11, and their offense is actually really, really good and fun to watch, but they have to win games 40-39. But you get the point. You go to Baker Mayfield and all the rest of it. These are offenses with good offensive lines and good skill guys and a good scheme. And as a result, they're able to succeed.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not that Drake May suddenly is the best quarterback in football. He's not, but he is thriving in a system.
Yeah.
He's thriving in a system that suits him. And they have a schedule that is pretty friendly when you look at, you know, who New England is playing. They're not out there playing a first-place schedule, and that, I think, is certainly part of it.
No question about it. Yeah, so, like, those things, to me, that's fine. That's fine. If you find a mix that works, then you stick with that mix. But right now, whether it be last year, to a degree this year, I mean, I know if you just flip on the radio today, any of the shows, it's not going to sound and feel like the Niners are 5-3, but they are. They are, which is such an unbelievable opportunity because it also feels to a degree like nothing has worked so far. Nothing has really worked so far. It's worked in doses. It's worked in moments. It's worked in pieces. You know, I can look at the defense in Seattle and I'm like, well, okay, that worked. And then in New Orleans, I'm like, ooh, Mac Jones, actually, that worked really well in that game. I think that was still the only touchdown a wide receiver has scored this year. Mac to Juwan Jennings in New Orleans. Wide receivers have not scored another touchdown for the 49ers this year. The run game worked last Sunday night against Atlanta. George Kittle returns, etc. So you can pull these areas of the field on certain weeks, but I've never felt like the Niners put it all together for a game. And more often than not, if I look at any one group, more often than not this year it has not been good. Yet they're 5-3. So it's like, do you get Purdy and Pearsall back and some people back from IR and make some sort of a mid-level trade for a fifth-round draft pick or whatever to get somebody to rush the passer, and Bryce Huff returns? Could you be good in the second half of the year? You could be good. You could be. And again, someone hit us on the YouTube chat, and I lost it, so I can't give credit for who it was, but they just said, if you're going to be the 7 seed, I'd rather miss the playoffs entirely. See, now with that, I completely disagree.
I do too.
I totally disagree.
What's the point of that? Like, your draft position, I think it's already settled based on regular season record.
100% it is.
So even if you're the 7th seed and you win the Super Bowl, it doesn't mean you pick 32nd. You're slotted in based on...
Oh, no. That does actually run through the playoffs. But the point is like, if you miss the playoffs, let's say you're the 8 or the 9 seed, we're only going to be like 2-3 picks ahead of what you would be if you make the playoffs. But
right.
No, make the playoffs.
Get experience for these young players.
Even if they lose. Like, that's the whole point. Like, make the playoffs. And by the way, wouldn't you pick the Niners to do so right now if I asked you today?
Yeah. I mean, if I had to make a bet, if you gave me $1,000 of your money to bet and you said, I got to make a bet, I would bet yes to make the playoffs, and it's probably minus 250 still. They're probably still, I would say, somewhat heavily favored to make
the
playoffs.
Minus 320.
Yeah,
minus 320.
More than 250.
See,
so
instead of thinking about it like, ooh, are they a playoff team, ask yourself this. This is the list.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to beat the Niners on this list. Needs to finish ahead of them. For the Niners to miss the playoffs, Dallas, Washington, the Giants, the Bears, the Vikings, the Panthers, the Falcons, the Saints, and the Cardinals. One of those teams needs to finish ahead of the Niners or the Niners are going to the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, Bears and Panthers, you play them both. Yeah. Those are the teams. And the Panthers at 4-4, it's like, they're 4-4?
Yeah.
And the Bears are an interesting one because with every passing game, Caleb Williams gets more comfortable in a new system again. They can be a dangerous team. You play Carolina still. You still play Chicago. So those, to me, would be the two most likely. I don't see Dallas defensively. They just don't have enough, And, you know, Washington with the injury they've had. Their quarterback's been out. Tonight's a big game for them with Marcus Mariota, my fantasy quarterback. We'll see how he looks as a starter.
You had to pick him up?
Sure. Yeah. I'm going to win anyway, but I got
fancy.
Sam Darnold on a bye.
Okay, yeah, it's
bye. And I had Jaden Daniels hurt. So
Armageddon, that's what they call him this week. Yeah. All right. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. You know, we could actually, it'd be interesting to kind of throw that out there. 888-957-9570. The Niners right now, A, they would be in the playoffs if the season ended today. It doesn't. But that list that we just gave you, does anybody on there sound better than the Niners? Do you see the Niners as a playoff team? We're almost at the halfway point-ish, 8 games in. We'll take your calls on that right now. Do you see them as a playoff team right now? 888-957-9570. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Willard and Dibbs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
12th play of this drive. Play action. Looking. It's caught. Jake Tonjes. National tight end day has two in the end zone for San Francisco. And the Niners very much alive deep in the heart of Texas.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, a few things to throw at you before we continue the discussion. That was Kevin Kugler on Fox. That was part of the Niners' crappy day yesterday in Houston. Although I did enjoy watching D'Amico Ryan's postgame locker room speech. I like D'Amico.
Yeah, tough not to like him.
And D'Amico needed a win.
Big time.
Yeah.
And I do think that when you look at that game now, when you reverse engineer it, and I had the pick wrong, I took the Niners and the 2.5. I took 1.5 in my pick 'em pool. And when you look at it, yes, I know. Thank you. 22-12. I'm still fairly happy with
impressive.
That part
yeah,
of it.
Impressive.
But when you look back,
but cold.
When you look back on the game, you realize that not that the Texans wanted it more, the Texans needed it more for sure. If they lose that game and they're 2-5, yes. Their season is not all the way over, but they're in real trouble. And at 3-4, you're probably not going to catch the Colts. I get it. But 3-4, you can still think about, you know, going on a little bit of a run.
Sure.
And still think about a wild card and all the rest of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the AFC to me, because we're sort of ish at the halfway point. I know next week is a little bit more like the halfway point because most teams will have had their bye. And so then some teams will have played 8 and some teams will have played 9. And that's but anyway, we're kind of close to there. And I think it's taking shape. Like the Bills and Patriots to me are both going to the playoffs. And then obviously the Colts are going to win the South. And then the North is now, especially with Pittsburgh losing last night, not as clear as people think. I still, God, this is going to be crazy to say, I still favor the Ravens to win that division. They're 2-5.
Well, the odds, I was telling you during the break, yeah. The Ravens are -122. The Steelers are +118.
Yep. So the Ravens are still favored to win the division.
Yes, according to FanDuel, yeah. They're favoring the Ravens. And just the Houston Texans are +260 to make the playoffs.
Right.
And the Colts are -2,500. So you'd have to lay $2,500 to win 100. So the expectation is, Colts, you win the AFC South.
Sure.
Way to go. And so if you're the Texans now, you're having to worry about either the Patriots or the Bills. The Chiefs, the Broncos, or the Chargers, two of those teams.
Right. So,
and then, the South, Jacksonville is another team that
don't forget
is
about them. Yeah,
in the mix.
They're 4-3, no doubt. So let's say, let's pretend, because the Ravens have a really favorable schedule for the next 5 weeks,
yep.
And they do have Lamar. Officially, John Harbaugh just said Lamar Jackson is expected to play on Thursday night. Full participant in practice today, and Lamar is going to play on Thursday night against the Dolphins. Pretty winnable game.
Favored by 7.5.
There you go.
On the road.
All right, so let's say the Ravens make their move and they end up still winning the AFC North. Colts in the South. Bills and Patriots are both a division winner and one of them is a wild card. And then that leaves the division winner for the AFC West. And then that group going for the other two wild card games. You mentioned Jacksonville and Houston. There's Pittsburgh also at 4-3. There's the Chargers at 5-3. There's the Chiefs at 4-3 with a game later on tonight. So that's a big group, and basically two of those maybe five teams will get in. And Houston right now is at the bottom of the group, even with their win yesterday.
Yes, and if you look at NFC, AFC, what's it going to take kind of a conversation, in the AFC, 11 wins might not be enough. You might lose a tiebreaker at 11-6 because, as you mentioned, like the Chargers, Chiefs, and Broncos, those are all going to be 10 or 11 win teams, I'm afraid. And our Chiefs bet with the midday show not looking good.
No, don't stress.
I'm not stressing. Telling you what the odds makers have it right now.
Well,
the Chiefs are -800 to make the playoffs.
Right, but that's
heavy favorites.
Fan perception.
I get it, but
they're very good. But like, I'm not gonna. Okay, they whipped the Raiders. That's fun. First of all, play the game tonight. I expect them to win. But play the game. How will you feel if they were to lose tonight?
Depends on what the pick is.
I mean,
the pick is in.
No, I know, but understand that. Let's say they ended
Thank
up
you.
At 4-4 tonight. Have you all looked at the next three games for the Chiefs?
Not easy.
Buffalo, Denver, Indy.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Go ahead and tell me that they're a lock.
No, they're no lock. And my point is that I think 11-6 is no guarantee in the AFC. Because Buffalo at 5-2, they're in second place, and you mentioned the Chargers at 5-3. There's a lot of teams, I think, in the AFC that are going to win 11 games and not win their division. Like Jacksonville could be an 11-win team.
I don't know if those are 11-win teams.
The Chargers could win 11.
Yeah, they could.
You know, they're allowed to.
Yeah, they a lot of them feel more like, Jacksonville feels more like a 9-win team, maybe
Buffalo,
a 10-win
New
team.
England.
Yeah, those teams are both going. They're going.
Right.
They're
going to
go.
But if you look at like how they're going to go, you're probably going to have Buffalo and New England. They're both going to win 11, yeah. You would guess. And
at least.
Right. And then I think Denver and the Chargers are both going to win 11. And if the Chiefs get thrown in there, I'm just thinking that in the AFC, the bar to make the playoffs is going to be higher than the NFC.
No doubt.
And this goes to your earlier conversation about the Niners. I do think that they could go 10-7 and be the 7 seed. I think 11 wins in the NFC absolutely guarantees you a spot, whereas the AFC, I think it'd be tougher.
10 might even do it. And again, that's why if you're a Niner fan, I'm sorry to say it, but you're rooting for the Chiefs tonight. Knock Washington down to 3-5. The Cowboys are 3-4-1. They've given up the most points in the conference, and it's not even close. And then the other contenders, like, you know, the Bears are 4-3, the Vikings are 3-4, the Panthers are 4-4, the Falcons are 3-4. You have a game in hand against them. Like, I truly believe if this goes the way I think it'll go, and I'm going to assume relative health for all of these teams, and I mean that from this as a starting point. Like, the Niners are not going to have relative health this year. Their two best players on defense are gone. But relative health from this point going forward, which means no earth-shattering season-ending injuries, to me, having watched all of this, it's very clear who the seven teams that have the inside track in the NFC are. And it's Philadelphia, Green Bay, Detroit, Tampa, Seattle, the Rams, and the Niners. Those are the teams. And that's who I think is going to go to the playoffs. And the Niners may well be the 7 seed. And yes, you want that. Yes, you do.
As opposed to the 8 seed, I'm with you.
Of course.
Get in the tournament. You never know what can happen. And also, even if the worst happens, which is you play one game and you lose, all these young pups you have on your defense, especially, they get playoff experience. And that's not nothing in my book.
No, I agree with you completely. Plus, you never know what the hell's going to happen when you get there. You never know. And I think we said as recently as 2 weeks ago, I would, if the Niners were to make the playoffs and win one playoff game, I would consider that a very successful season.
Yeah.
When you consider the circumstances of where we sit right now. You know what I mean? If anybody was surprised by yesterday, my response to you would be, were you more surprised by that than you have been by the wins?
Like, no. If you want to look at like the most surprising games of the year, the Ram game is the most surprising game of the year. Yesterday was not surprising. It was a little disappointing.
No doubt.
Because, you know, the narrative all week was Kittle's back, and so now you can run the ball again. And, well, that wasn't the case yesterday because Houston's defense turns out to be maybe the best in football. And so, yeah, even George Kittle being back isn't enough for you to get that done. And so I look at yesterday and I tip the cap and say Houston was better. Houston was better in the trenches on offense. They were better in the trenches on defense. And that's the way it goes sometimes. But you sit here after 8 and you're 5-3. And if you want to talk about tiebreakers and dream scenarios for the wild card, if it's not a team in your division with whom you're tied, it's head to head. And you've got Carolina coming up. You've got Chicago coming up. The second tiebreaker is conference record. You have the best record in the conference. You and Philadelphia are 5-1 in the conference. So
that's crazy.
Even as you get down the road, if you wind up 10-7 in a tiebreaker, you're probably in a good spot tiebreaker-wise. And even if it's a team in your division head-to-head, let's just say you lose to Seattle and you're tied with them for the final playoff spot. Well, then it goes to conference record. And as I mentioned, you've got a better conference record.
Yeah, Seattle's already got 2 losses and they've only played 4 games in the conference. They're 2-2. Yeah, don't forget that 3-0 division record. That 3-0 division record, that I see no way that that's not going to come in big time handy down the road here at the end of the season. I go back and forth right now about how the 49ers should handle the next 8 days. The trade deadline is coming, and I'll say all this to say that the front office seems to view this year, the lack of going all in on the offensive line prior to the year, the lack of doing anything to this point, although I will remind people, major trades don't usually happen 2, 3, 4 weeks before the deadline. I know there's been some little ones. People are moving from the 5th to the 6th round to grab a guy. But, like, whatever. If the Niners had done that, would you be all excited? Probably not. The real deals are going to start here in the next 7 days. And I think the Niners will be involved, and I do think they should be involved, but I think they should take a very, very measured approach. It's why Kyle answers that question every time by talking about not just this year, but next year as well. Like, that's code. That is code for we're not winning the Super Bowl this year. We're allowed to. Something bananas could happen. All of those quarterbacks you just mentioned that are all up there in the top seven quarterback rating, they could all get hurt. So, yes, if Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love and Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield all get hurt, Matt Stafford too, then maybe the Niners can go to the Super Bowl this year. But I don't think that's going to happen. That's why they keep saying we will try to help this group out, provided that it helps us next year too.
Exactly.
That is code for next year's the year, we're hoping.
Right.
This year isn't the year.
It's not the year. It still can be the year. And if you get in the tournament and stuff, you never know. But you talked about trades and just looking back at the Niners' significant trades of the past. Jimmy Garoppolo, October 31st. Yep. Emmanuel Sanders, October 20th. Christian McCaffrey, October 22nd. So we are in that window of now being a time where you can make those deals. And as you were talking about, trades that are going to help you now and in the future. McCaffrey's still here. Garoppolo, you got him and you signed him to a huge deal, a record-breaking deal. And Emmanuel Sanders was not a rental. He was here for a couple seasons. So I think that you're looking at something more along those lines. But then, like you're talking about, if you were to make a trade right now for one player, whatever player you think that you would want to go out there and get, even if it's Quinnen Williams. So you get Quinnen Williams and you think we can afford him and we're going to keep him. Great. You plug him right there in the middle. Are you now a Super Bowl team?
No.
You're better. You're deeper. Your defense got a lot better. But I think that if you wanted to go from where you are to being a legitimate Super Bowl type team, you're talking about adding four players or five players.
Yeah, and two
gutting your draft
and
picks.
And two of them better be Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, by the way.
Type players, sure.
Right.
But
no, like I don't think type players like that exist. There's no Fred Warner. He's one on one.
Oh, for sure.
That's part of what I'm saying. I'm sorry. This is not their year. We can still have a blast. Okay. They can still go to the playoffs. I will still sit down with red and gold on and root my ass off. You should too. I think there's value in all of that. I've never been a Super Bowl or bust mentality. I don't even understand it. Does that literally mean you're only happy at the end of a year when your team wins it all? Are you pissed 98% of the time?
Well, more than that.
Like, what are we doing here? So there's tremendous value in trying to be a good team and running a good program. But this is not a Super Bowl year. I don't even think it necessarily was prior to the injuries. But that's not a crazy opinion, is it? I don't think they can win it all without Fred Warner. I just don't think that.
Well, just go back to where before Fred and Nick got hurt. If you had them healthy all year, you would think differently about whether or not you could still be a Super Bowl team. And you get into the soft underbelly of the schedule, as you and I have talked about. You come out of the bye and you've got Indy, and that's about it. You do have Seattle the last week, but by and large, you've got some easier opponents. And if you had those guys, you would feel better about what we saw yesterday, which is no pass rush, a lack of tackling, as my old buddy Whitey Gleason used to say, lackling.
Yep.
There was a lot of lackling yesterday, lack of tackling. And your young secondary got exposed because you're asking them to do more than you want them to do. So there's a ripple effect to it. I do believe if they hadn't lost Bosa and Warner, you'd feel a little bit differently about at 5-3 what this team could still be.
For sure. Absolutely. I would still call it kind of an outside chance type thing, but none of us ever want to admit this. Going to the Super Bowl is always kind of an outside chance thing. That's just the way the Super Bowl
Unless
operates.
You're Kansas City. Then it's expected because you go every year.
Not this year.
Hope not.
But I said that last year, too. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.